go to God's word here this morning and see what the Lord wants to do as far as relationships are concerned with going out beyond the four walls here. We started about 3 weeks ago. This is our fourth week. We started off with the husband and wife's dynamic. Then we moved to the children and the parents and the children dynamic. Last week we looked at really within the four walls of what's going on and how we can have more Christ-like relationships and be more impactful for Christ. Today, we're going to wrap this up by saying, okay, now that we've take what we know what God's word says and move out from here to the outside of the four walls, what does that look like in our community? Whether it be, next door to where we live or halfway around the world. So let's open up in prayer and we'll get started here with this. Father, we thank you today for this time of fellowship that we've had. I trust that we've gotten to know some other folks and some interesting things that we've not known about them, even though we've seen them 4 years sitting across the aisle from us. Now we get a chance to really get to know them a little bit better. And that's all really what about relationships are all about. And we thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have had to grow in relationships here these last 4 weeks. Be with us now, we pray, Holy Spirit, as we delve into your word and find out what we can do to make a difference outside of these four walls in godly relationships, Christ-like relationships, beyond this hour and a half that we have here on Sunday mornings. We give you this time in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the definition of goodness is this. Goodness is godly, selfless, upright behavior motivated by kindness and generosity, actions benefiting others rather than the hope of personal gain. It's a lot of words there. Goodness is the fruit of the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. It's one of the fruit. And it's exactly what Christ has done for us when he gave us his life to ransom us from our sins. Matthew 5:16 talks about goodness in this way. It says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works, your goodness, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You know, one of the more powerful stories of goodness is found in the Bible. It was a true story. It's not a parable, found in Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. I'm not going to put the story up on the screen, but you can write that down, and I'm going to give you a paraphrase of what happened. There was five men in the town that Jesus was in, and they heard that Jesus was there. One of those men was a paralytic. They were all five friends, and they other four knew, all of them actually knew, that if they could get their friend to Jesus, if they could just get that man to Jesus, he would be healed. So they devised a plan. They went out to the house that Jesus was teaching in, but the crowds were too great to get him through the door on the mat that they had makeshift carried him on. But that didn't stop them. They didn't turn around and say, "Well, we tried." They ended up carrying him up on the roof, and they created a hole in the roof, I'm sure much to the chagrin of the owner of that house. "Hey, what are you doing? Making a hole in my roof." And then all four of them worked in tandem, and they lowered this man from that mat down right in front to the feet of Jesus. When Jesus saw the great faith of all of these men, he spoke to the paralytic, and he said to this man, "Take up your bed, take up your mat, and go home." And he did immediately. We know the story if you're familiar with it. He took up his mat, completely healed, praising God, I'm assuming with his friends that brought him as they all left rejoicing together. Now, these four men displayed goodness in a powerful and practical way. Here's some aspects of that. They gave of their time, they gave of their energies, and they gave of their love to reach out to their friend, to this man who couldn't do for himself what desperately needed to be done. They didn't look in hopeless resignation at their sick friend and say, "There's nothing that we can do." They didn't consider it an inconvenience of having to carry this full-grown man on a makeshift mat through town. They didn't stop in discouragement at the crowd blocking the door, but they followed through by climbing to the rooftop, creating a hole in it, and working together, they lowered their friend to the feet of Jesus. So we're going to wrap up today our relationship series, but I want us to look at how we can practically express the goodness of Christ, just as these four men did, this selfless, kind, generous, others way of living. It's a goodness that is so desperately needed, I would think that you would agree, in our community and in our world today. I want you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, because our text is going to be there this morning, starting in verse 7. And you'll see the words on the screen as well. But write this down. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 starts off, and it says this. Don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good. Goodness to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. What a great text, and this really what got me, what caught my attention more than anything, even though we know a lot of these verses. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. There's that. And then the other part that says, to those who belong to the family of faith especially. You know, there's opportunities, folks, all around us to do good. A kind word, an accepting smile, a gentle gesture are always available for us to express to people that are people that we know and total strangers as well. Just look around. Because where there's people, there's an opportunity to be good towards them. You know, as Paul said, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's you and me in this place today. And I want to take just a couple of minutes and actually put everybody on the spot in this place. And I want you to turn to someone that's sitting at your table, and I want you to express a phrase to them of goodness. I don't know what that looks like, and you might have to laugh as you say it because you feel so uncomfortable. But practice by turning to that person and saying, I really think you're great, or you are a beautiful person. You look lovely today. I love your personality. I just appreciate your heart for the Lord. Whatever it is, I'm seeding the ground, but turn to someone right now and show some goodness to them. Well, very good. So as we're sharing with people some kind phrases and some kind words, and maybe you just turned to someone just a few moments ago and said, hey, what he said, what I gave you, I don't know. But it didn't seem to be a problem for you guys to express some words of goodness, some words of kindness to that person sitting next to you. I heard laughter and I saw smiles, and it put a good feeling in people's hearts, and it made the other person feel good as well. It was not only beneficial to the receiver, but also beneficial to that person who shared. But you know that goodness that we just expressed just now, that smile that it put on y'all's face and that what made you feel good, it doesn't just stop here at the doors of the church. In fact, it should be done, as Paul said in Galatians, for all people. Now, I don't know how you get around that word all, because all means, I don't know, all. It's just all. You know, everyone appreciates goodness towards them. And sometimes I think I'm this way, in fact I know I am, that it's that sometimes we feel like that we should only be good to those who deserve it. You know, but the Bible says that we should do good to all people. So here's what I want to just say with that, is that sometimes those who seem least deserving are the ones who need it the most. Would you agree with me on that? Those that seem least deserving, well, what's wrong with them? And we just tend to want to walk away from that. But the fact is you see the struggle, and it's coming out in whatever way, grumpiness or anger or distance and disconnect. But those are the ones that seem to need it the least are really the ones that seem to deserve it the least seem to need it the most. I don't know if you are familiar with this movie. I hate to say this as a grown man, but it's one of my favorite movies, Pollyanna. Yeah, it's just a great movie. It's just a great movie because this young girl moved into this town. She was, I think, her parents died, and so she came and moved in with her aunt, who was very wealthy, and the whole town was grumpy. I mean, she was all glass half full and happy and positive. She had a lot of goodness and kindness in her, and everybody that she met had a problem. And, you know, I don't know if I were her, I think I'd get discouraged pretty easily, but if you ever watched the movie, you saw where she didn't allow people's grumpiness and anger and hatefulness get the best of her, but over a period of time, as she consistently just became, she was just good and kind to these people, she began to influence their lives to the point that at the end of the movie, and this is, you know, spoiler alert, if you're going to go DVR this movie, but At the end, she came into a bad place, and she needed to be encouraged. She needed some goodness towards her, and wouldn't you know it? Everybody that she impacted in her life at the point that she moved in to that town came to her rescue and was kind and good back to her in her time of need when she needed it the most. You know, maybe some of us need a paradigm shift. I don't know. We've looked so long and so hard at life that it's turned us sour and bitter and unkind. We've experienced some bad things and it's made us grumpy and uncaring towards others. I don't know why we get the way that we get. But if we look outward to the opportunities that are around us and let the light of Christ shine through our good works, it'll not only bless others, but it'll change the way that we look at life. Paul says, let us not become weary in doing good. For the proper time, we're going to reap a harvest if we don't give up. And I know this, hard to continue being good towards others when we see little or no outward signs of it making a difference. But rest assured, because the Bible doesn't lie, God's word doesn't lie, a harvest is going to be reaped. That's what God promises, so we dare not get discouraged and we dare not give up. In a world of instant gratification, we desire to see our efforts paid off quickly. I was nice to them, why aren't they nice to me? I did something nice for them, why don't they do something nice for me? I was kind, why were they mean to me? But it doesn't always happen that way, does it? It just usually tends to be, it seems like, that it takes some time. So here's the thing, goodness should never be an event that we expect an instant return on our investment, even though sometimes it does happen. We'll do something kind and we get a thank you. Those are always nice. But a lifestyle that continually pours out into people's lives, the reality of God's love for them is something that it's something that we do on a regular basis. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle, because in due time, the Bible says, a harvest is going to come. But that time frame is up to God. We simply live a life of being good to others, having a goodness inside of us whenever possible, at every opportunity, and leave the rest to God. George Mueller was a great man of God. He lived in the 1800s. And through his hard work and through his faith in God and through his compassion for children, he eventually established 5 orphanages which cared for thousands of orphans over the years. He was a man of prayer. And in all of his ministry, traveling over 200,000 miles and sharing the gospel in over 42 countries in his lifetime, he did something that rather profound that I think tends to get lost in his grander accomplishments that I just read off to you, because he set out to pray for 5 friends for their salvation. Beginning in November of 1844, when George Mueller was 39 years old, until his death in 1898, so for a total of 54 years, he began to pray for these 5 people's conversions. He wrote this observation in his journal some 36 years into his commitment, and this is what he wrote. I prayed every day without a single intermission, whether sick or in health, on land or at sea, and whatever the pressure of my engagements might be. 18 months elapsed before the first of the 5 was converted. I thanked God and prayed on for the others. 5 years elapsed, and then the second was converted. I thanked God for the second and prayed for the other 3. Day by day, I continued to pray for them, and 6 years passed before the 3rd was converted. I thanked God for the 3 and went on praying for the other 2. These 2 remain unconverted. The man whom God, in the riches of his grace, has given tens of thousands of answers to prayer in the selfsame hour or day in which they were offered, has been praying day by day for nearly 36 years for the conversion of these 2 more individuals, and yet they remain unconverted. But I hope in God, I pray on, and look yet for the answer. They are not converted, but they will be. You know, it wasn't until after George Mueller's death, when he was in his 90s, that the last man accepted Christ as Savior. But to a person, each one of them did. You know, goodness towards others was a lifestyle for him. He didn't have to do that. But he was being good towards these men by praying for their salvation daily for 54 years until his last breath. And he didn't even see the fruit of all of it. And that's what I'm saying with the Save a Baby campaign. We may not see the fruit of this, but we're doing good by doing it. I'm just amazed at the acts of goodness towards others that George Mueller expressed and shared on a daily basis for 54 years. And I wonder what acts of goodness towards others that we can be doing today that would impact lives for Christ as George Mueller did. You know, we see this sowing based on our text today, that this sowing and reaping can go both ways. Paul wrote that whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh is going to reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, well, the Spirit, from the Spirit you're going to reap eternal life. And as you read that, you think, oh, eternal life, yeah, that's good. But there's also life here on the earth. And there's opportunity for us to sow good things. But if we sow ugliness, we're going to get back ugliness. If we sow unkindness, we're going to reap unkindness. If whatever we sow in the flesh, we're going to reap in return destruction, the Bible says. And also the law of sowing and reaping is this. Keep this in mind. What we reap, we're also going to sow, but we're also going to reap it in greater proportion than what we sow. And I don't want to sow ugliness into someone's life because I'm going to get back 10 ugly in return. And I don't want you to sow unkindness into someone's life because you're going to get back 10 in return. That's the law of sowing and reaping, and it goes both ways. If you sow hatefulness, you're going to reap hatefulness in larger portions. But if you sow goodness, you're going to reap goodness in larger portions. I don't know about you guys today, but I intend to sow goodness and Christ's likeness into others as much as I possibly can. I have no desire to reap destruction in my life, and I don't think you do either. We look at verse 7, and it says, don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. It's a fixed law of sowing and reaping, and it's all throughout the Bible. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says it this way. One man gives freely and yet gains even more. That doesn't make sense. You give freely and yet you get more back? Doesn't make sense. But on the flip side, it says, another withholds unduly but then comes to poverty. You would think that if you withhold and you keep it to yourself, you'd have more. But instead, you don't. You actually go to poverty. Verse 25 says, a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You see, we don't give to get. We don't bless to be blessed. We're not kind and good towards others so that it gets back in return. But by the law of sowing and reaping, it will happen. And so I want to encourage you today, outside of these four walls, to be good. Be good. Be good. Be kind. The world has plenty of hate out there, plenty of rudeness, plenty of anger out there to spare. We don't need to add to that. We need to be good. We need to be kind. We need to sow into people's lives those things. And it's not just talking about money or possessions, by the way, but it also means acts of goodness, words of kindness, gentleness of heart. You know, I think that we look at folks that we work with and go to school with, maybe friends on social media, and folks that we live around sometimes in the wrong way. Different colored skin, different religion, different lifestyles, whatever the case. And we automatically make them anti-us. We create walls, we live in silos, we put up blinders, we label them as hopeless, heartless, unredeemable people. But folks, God doesn't see them that way at all. Someone once said this, we must make sure we don't designate as the enemy those whom God calls the harvest. That phrase should be up there on the screen, and I want you to write that down. We must make sure we don't designate as the enemy those whom God calls the harvest. You know, Jesus said in John 4:35, don't you have a saying that it's still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, though, open your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already ripe to harvest. There's people out there that need desperately the harvest that you can reap in their lives. As people, as we see people the way Christ sees them, as souls, hurting, hungry, lonely, broken, in need of kindness, in need of the good news, we'll gain a heart of compassion for them and move out in goodness, in the goodness of Christ towards them. Folks, they all deserve it. Whenever possible, be good to all people. I'm going to end with a story here today of a man by the name of Kent. For the last couple of weeks, felt the Lord impress upon me to go to the Galleria Mall. And I just didn't go, just didn't feel the right time or something else came up. But finally, this past Tuesday, I went to the mall. And I took a clipboard to make it look like I was doing a survey, because I was. And I took my Bible, because I thought, well, maybe they'll think that I at least look official. But I felt like I needed to talk to some peoples, or maybe a person. I didn't know what the Lord was going to do. But I went, and it was around 11 o'clock, and I went to the food court area, because I thought that's where people congregate, and they're sitting at tables, and maybe I can catch someone. Well, I went on the day that Rock Hill High School had a field trip, and that thing was packed with just 11th and 12th graders. They look like they were big guys and girls, and I was just, it was swamped. And I thought to myself, well, Lord, do you want me to talk to any of these people? And then my first thought was, no, you better not, because there's teachers that are there and they're chaperones, and they may think I'm trying to do something weird. Plus, I didn't think I would have time. So I just sat there and I just watched and observed. And eventually, sure enough, it wasn't just a few minutes later, you know, I was like, hey, let's go get back on the bus. It's time to go to our next place. And I thought, okay, that worked. That worked well. But I looked at, to see what was left, and it was fairly empty, but there was a few people. And I was situated at a seat where in the food court where I could see Shomar's, if you've ever been to the Galleria Mall. And they have some chairs on the outside of Shomar's just lined up against it. And there was a gentleman there by the name of Kent. And I noticed him sitting there by himself, and he had just gotten served his food. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, go talk to him. And so I did. And I sat down. I didn't sit down at first. I went up to him with a clipboard, and I said, listen, I'm just going around to the mall here today, and I'm asking people, who is Jesus to you? And he answered very well. He said, he's the Son of God. He paid the price for our sins. He went down the list, and I thought, okay, this man is church. This man knows his word. So I thought, well, I'm not going to necessarily lead him to the Lord today, but there's something there. And so we chatted for a little while longer. And finally, as he was eating his shrimp, and it looked really good, by the way, shrimp and fries and the whole bit. He didn't offer me a bite, which was, anyway, but he was eating. And he said, hey, pull up a chair. So I sat down, and for an hour and a half, he talked. For an hour and a half, he talked. He's 63 years old. He's married, grown son, lives in just outside of Chester, came to the mall to eat at Shomar's. He was supposed to meet a man there to go down to Columbia to take some photographs of a church, because he was an amateur photographer, but he showed me some pictures and they were really good. But this is what got me, is that he said, 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. Stage 4 in my small intestines. He said they took out a portion of my small intestines. They cut me from here to here. They put in me some chemo and all of that. And he says, I'm cancer free. I said, well, praise God. He says, but I don't know why God spared me. I don't know what my purpose is. I'm trying to figure out why at 63, and that happened 3 years ago, why I'm still here. And so we were able to talk about that. And I was able to point him in some direction as I felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking through me. And it was a great time of an hour and a half of just conversation, mostly him talking and me being able to encourage him and share with him. He recognized which church that I pastored. Oh, yeah, the Red Cups. How many ever hears that? I mean, all the time. I mean, thank the Lord for Red Dixie Cups, because that's what we're known for, is the Red Cups. Billy, you and your wife are making a difference, putting them Red Cups home on the fence. But this is what he told me, as I prayed with him as I left, and I thought, I'm thinking, I have no idea if this made a difference. I don't know, but I just had to trust the Lord in this. And by the way, this is kind of out of character for me to do this, but I did it because I felt compelled to. And as I was leaving, he told me this. He says, Brian, you have become a boulder in my life. And I said, thank you. I think that's good. I said, what do you mean by that? He says, if you ever see a river or a stream, and you see these boulders kind of coming out from the stream that are in the middle of the stream, the water's rushing down and it's going in a particular direction, but the water has to acknowledge those boulders. It slows down the water just a little bit. It makes the water go around the boulder, and eventually makes its way down. But it causes the water to pause and to take notice of that boulder. And he says, that's what you did for me today. He says, you've helped me, and I thank you. And I don't say that to say, well, man, Brian, you are really an awesome guy. Because again, I didn't do this, and I share this very humbly as just an example of what God wants to do through us. He just wants us to be good. We plant water and he brings the increase. I don't know what benefit that did for him, but I'm a boulder in his life, and that's a good thing. So maybe there's a person in your that you know of that's a total stranger, or someone that you know that you need to be a boulder in their life this week. To just be good to them. To just show the kindness of Christ in them. To just reach out to them and say, what can I do selfless? I've got nothing. Well, I take that back. I did get something out of that. But I didn't go with the intentions of getting anything out of it. I went to just out of obedience to say, how can I be good? What can I do here? Lord, do whatever you want to do. So this guy named Kent, who goes to some Baptist church here in Rock Hill, I don't know which one, but he didn't tell me, and that's fine. And I made a difference in his life. The Lord made a difference in his life. So I just want to leave you with this. As I asked Dell to come up, I want to leave you with this. Going back to the original story of those four men that took their paralytic friend, who is apparently a very close friend. They cared about this man. They probably hung out together. The four of them were able-bodied, and the one paralytic friend, he couldn't hardly move for himself. But the other four who were able-bodied, capable, but also had a heart to be good and kind, with no strings attached, did all that they did to carry him from one place to another and take him down to the feet of Jesus so that this man could be whole and healed. And I want to ask you this question today. What paralytic, what person out there this week may the Lord bring you to that is in desperate need of the goodness of Christ in you, that you can make a difference selflessly and lovingly in their life? If I could just give you a homework assignment this week, it would be that. To just be conscious and intentional to say, Lord, I want to do that, what Pastor Brian's talking about. Even if it's just a one person, I want to see what that's like. You experienced it here at the table today, just for a moment, with some laughter and giggles and some smiles and all of that that comes with it. That man, Kent, was smiling. You could tell there was a difference in his countenance. There was something that the Lord was doing in his heart. I don't know what God did, but I know he did something. And that's what God wants to do through you this week. A coworker, a family member, a neighbor, a total stranger. I don't know what that looks like, but can you be good to someone this week with the goodness of Christ? Homework assignment. Do that. I challenge you. And I'm not asking you to do something that I haven't done and I just did this week, and I know how hard what I'm asking you. I know how hard it is what I'm asking some of you. I get it. It is difficult. You may think, for me, I can stand up here with a microphone and talk to all of y'all, and I'm not shy and all that, and I know you. Kelly doesn't even believe me when I tell her. I was shy when I was a kid. I was. And I still can be shy in situations. And I've got this outgoing personality, but I get really shy and intimidated a lot. And I think we're all the same. We step out of our comfort zones in any way. It's like, ugh. But you got to do it. And that's where Christ shows up. And that fruit of the Spirit of goodness, again, it's a fruit of the Spirit. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit of Christ. And there's goodness that's needed out there. I'm going to define goodness again. It's a godly, selfless, upright behavior motivated by kindness and generosity. It's actions befitting others rather than the hope of personal gain. How can we do that this week? How can we be a boulder in someone's life? How can we take a paralytic and lay him at the feet of Jesus? Yeah. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, it's a challenging word for us as we take this relationship series and say, wow, I don't know if I can do this. It was even difficult around the table saying something kind just because it's intimidating. Not because it's not in me, not because the recipient doesn't deserve it, but it's just, it's intimidating. I'm too busy. I'm too jaded. I'm too tired. I'm too afraid. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us all in the busyness and the fear and the intimidation and the lack of passion and compassion, that you take all of that and we'd lay it aside and you'd fill us with what we need so that we can step out and be a boulder to someone this week. To just be a boulder of goodness to someone this week. Fruit of the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of goodness, Holy Spirit, Spirit of goodness, rise up in us. And let us selflessly, kindly, generously, lovingly, carefully be good to someone this week. We volunteer for service outside of the four walls of this church, whatever that looks like. And we're going to plant and water, and you'll bring the increase as you promised you would. And just like George Mueller didn't even see the results of all of his prayers, he saw the results of some and left the rest to you. We're going to do the same, trusting you all the way. Lord, for everybody in this place today, I pray that you'd instill within us the goodness of Christ that comes out from us in very practical and tangible ways to those around us this week. And Lord, for those of us who don't have Christ in our lives and we're struggling here, and we need to repent of our sins, we need to recommit our hearts and lives back to you, we want to get saved today. And we've come to this place seeing the joy that's here, feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit here, hearing this word and it resonating in our hearts to say, yeah, I need to be good. I want to be those things as well. But yet we're struggling because we just are not serving you. I pray that we would in this place repent of our sins. Your word says if we confess with our mouths and we believe in our heart that you are raised from the dead, that you are God's Son, that we will be saved. So Son of God, we say this prayer. In our hearts, we say it. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And come live in my heart and be Lord of my life. I repent of my sins and I ask that you would save me and make me in right relationship again with God the Father. So as we pray that prayer and mean it in our hearts as we just prayed it, we've been saved, we've been washed clean of our sins, we've been made new and born again. I thank you, Lord God, for those who prayed that prayer and meant it. Lord, I pray that you go with us from here and let the goodness of Christ be a boulder in someone's life this week. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.